Shalom. This is Shelley K. Baggett coming to you on a Voice of One Witness broadcast. Yes, Billy Brim is usually here, but this week, my husband, Dr. Thomas Benjamin Baggett III, or Brother Tom, and I have been sharing with you about our love story and about this wonderful heritage that we both have and how God seems to be directing our lives just right into Israel. And so you want to greet the people, honey?
Well, it's just great to be here again today. It's been a wonderful week and just looking forward to today.
Yes, absolutely. I believe that when we left off, we were talking about how you discovered, and just a few weeks before your first trip to Israel, that you were Jewish, and how...
That still seems a little bit surreal. But yeah. It's something I'm excited about.
Mm-hmm.
And there in Israel, after arriving there, I met Rabbi Moshe Rothschild. And standing in line at the Christians United for Israel Summit, Night to Honor Israel.
Had no idea you were going to meet him.
No, we had never met. And he was a tour guide there. And he was guiding a Christian couple that day. And out of curiosity, he came to see what it was all about, and he was standing in line. I didn't even know if he could get in the door, and he made a comment to me about my name. I had a name tag on, and we began to discuss my name, and when he learned that the original spelling of my name was B-A-G-O-D, back in 1100, it was changed from B-A-G-O-D to B-A-G-G-E-T-T, which is the spelling today. He said, "Let me show you your name in the Bible." And he took me to the scripture, and he showed me that my name was actually Gad. In the original, in the Hebrew, it is B-G-D. There are no vowels, and so it's Begad.
It's kind of neat when you find out what tribe you're in, because that's
neat.
Very unusual for Jews to know exactly what tribe they came from. And well, here you are from the tribe of Gad. They were cowboys.
And it was a new thing for me, and it was a new thing for Rabbi Moshe Rothschild to be talking with a Gentile. He said that he was 42 years old, and in his entire life, he had never had a meaningful conversation with a Gentile.
I think our listening audience may or may not understand how impacting that is. Jews have had their own close-knit community for generations. And when they would hear the word Christian, they would have this invisible wall go up, because Christians have done amazing
throughout
mean
history.
Things throughout
Absolutely.
History. Like if you don't accept our Jesus, we'll push you off a cliff into frozen waters, or you'll die.
Crusades and
Spanish Inquisition.
Yes, and then all the way up to the Holocaust.
Exactly.
You can look, and Catholicism had had a hand in the Holocaust, and so. They haven't heard good things about us Christians, but that is changing.
It is. It's
Christians
a miracle.
United for Israel has done a tremendous job. Your mom, Billy Brim, has had a revelation when it comes to Israel that we talked about yesterday and a little bit in our opening. And
well, it has to do with the time we're living in. You know, Jesus said they're hypocrites. They can discern the weather, but they don't know the time they're living in.
Mm-hmm.
And so how much more important it is for us to discern what time we're living in. If we live during the time of Noah, we needed to discern to pick up a hammer and work on the boat. Mm-hmm. But we discern now that we're living in the time when the sleeping Jewish nation for over 2,000 years miraculously has come forth, shot forth, and now we need to pick up our hammer and be a part
That's
of what's
right.
going
well,
on.
In the past, we've talked about how that it was as if a man were working on a great puzzle, maybe 1,000-piece or even larger puzzle, and begins working in the corners. You take that puzzle and you'll work the pieces that seem to go together. And if we could just get that vision and understand that God's been working on the Jews, and he's working on the church, and he's working on the nations, and it's all becoming very clear as this puzzle begins to be linked together, and we begin to see more clearly in the end time. It is a tremendous thing.
It is
a fascinating thing. And Rabbi Moshe Rothschild, he sees us in the Messianic age, and we're at a time that he sees us coming together as well.
It's wonderful. I think it's interesting, too, where Jesus said, "They'll know you're Christians by your love." And that's what we're doing. We are getting close to the Jews by just showing them our love.
And he writes on our website. He's become such a tremendous friend. We talk sometimes every day, and he writes articles for us on our website at www.mygodplace.org.
Wonderful. He's a wonderful writer. He was voted
New York's funniest rabbi.
So he writes with great intelligence, with a little bit of humor, and it's worth your effort to log on and to read his insightful information. Well, another thing too, honey, that is there anything in the Word? I know you've got your Word of God open.
Well, always. We were talking about how that you had prayed that prayer in Ephesians for the Lord to open my eyes.
Well, I tried to preach these things to you as a married couple, and there was like
it was
deadpan.
One of those times you were preaching with no anointing.
It was really kind of humiliating because I could preach in Bible schools and teach with an anointing, but when it came home to be with my husband and he'd ask me these questions, it was just like...
Well, I had been in the ministry since 1988, and the Lord had led me to certain parts. My father, my grandfather, always loved Israel, but as Paul says in Romans 11:25, there's a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I would not have you ignorant of this mystery. Well, not everybody gets the complete understanding of that mystery at the same time. Paul said, we see in part, we know in part. It's as if we're seeing through a glass darkly. Thank God that the sediment's beginning to settle out,
right,
and we're beginning to see more clearly than we've ever seen before.
Right.
And I'm so thankful you prayed those prayers in Ephesians for me.
Mm-hmm. You'd go to work. And, you know, you're a dentist, and then when he would be at work, I would open the book of Ephesians and put your name in it, that the eyes of your understanding.
Well, it starts with 1 Corinthians 10:32, understanding the three groups of people.
Oh, that's a key.
Understanding that there is the church separately from the Jews and the Gentiles.
That's exactly right.
Or the nations.
And the blessing in reading the Word of God, the whole plan, and the blessing of being a citizen and a Christian, a citizen of the United States of America, and know that we have a responsibility to bless Israel and to do it with intelligence by knowing the plan, by knowing the Bible, by knowing the three groups of people and rightly dividing the word of truth. What did you think about going to Jerusalem and seeing Jewish families praying at the wall?
It was eye-opening, to say the least. You know, you become conditioned in America to people living their fast-paced lives, and sadly, we don't see the reverence that we once saw in this country, and for God and for the things of God. When you go to Israel, you see a people that, it's shocking how seemingly almost everything is about God, and they're intent on reading the Torah and learning about God, and little children singing in the streets. It's just
yes.
a fulfillment of prophecy.
Yes.
They're singing and dancing in the streets about Hashem.
The name that they have for God. And it's the prophecy is people. And when you go into Israel, you see that it's not just, as Mother so puts it, it's prophecy's not just dusty old books with a crotchety old professor. Prophecy is flesh and blood. The Lord said, I will scatter them and I will gather them. And this is what's happening. Israel has come into a prophetic place. And I was thinking about a song that we learned while we were there, Ine Matov. Remember that?
Sure.
And it means, behold how good
and how pleasant.
How pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. It's Psalm 133. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, Aaron being the first high priest, and how that anointing just covered him from head to his feet. And that we dwelling together, how beautiful. It's like the anointing. And don't you think that's so true with your friendships, your Jewish friends?
It is an anointed friendship. And
what did he think about the Holocaust Museum exhibit
there
in Washington, D.C.?
It was just something. He said he had never seen anything like it, because this Holocaust Museum that we're talking about is not done by the Jews. It was done by the church. And it was young people, children in the church that were anointed by God. These children had no training. They weren't artists. They didn't know anything about artwork. But God anointed them to do some of the most incredible paintings. For a time, as you know, I was in the art industry for several years. And I can tell you that this was anointed. This was beyond just talent. God had his hand on these children to direct them to show the emotion and the import of what was actually going on during that Holocaust was so visible in these paintings, and you could just feel it.
Oh, you could. And they would pray and ask the Lord to direct their paintbrush, and it was just, and the results are just, to God be the glory.
I asked one of those young guys, I said, have you ever painted before? He said, no. I said, nothing. I said, and you did all this. He said, well, I did some things, and said other young people would come and they'd say, well, I can do this, or maybe I can do that. And I said, well, who taught you what to do? Who taught you what to put on this canvas? And he said, the Lord showed us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's amazing. And here we were with your friend, and what did he think when he was going through?
Well, I don't know if we mentioned, but he flew to Washington, D.C. to be with us for one day, just to be at Christians United for Israel in
Moshe
Rothschild. The last time we had seen him was at the Christians United for Israel summit in Jerusalem, where we met.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we go months later, and he flies all the way from Israel to be at this Washington, D.C. summit for one night.
And he's standing in this exhibit, this Holocaust exhibit, which is part of the building there.
Mm-hmm.
And there are the Christians, you know, standing by their paintings. And all of a sudden, they begin to sing in unison with loud voices, "We are standing on holy ground." And what did Rabbi...
Well, he told me he felt like he was in the middle of a musical. but I saw tears in his eyes, and he sees the sincerity and the love that Christians have for the Jews.
Mm. They're very sensitive to the anointing, aren't they, honey?
Very much, very much.
And just like Jesus said, Jesus said they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Mm-hmm.
So we're walking very closely with them. Why? Because we love them, and
absolutely,
they can trust us.
We do love them.
Mm. My.
Aren't you thankful for revelation in the end time?
Yes, I am. And the light of the righteous is growing. The path of the righteous is growing brighter and brighter. And
do you want to tell them about the Road to Prayer Mountain? We've got an offer this week.
This week we do.
They get a free book.
Yes, simply by writing, you get a free book. And if you can enclose a contribution for the radio broadcast, that would be very much appreciated. But the book is free. It's The Road to Prayer Mountain by Billy Brim. Write Billy Brim Ministries or Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, P.O. Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. This is Tom and Shelley K. Baggett blessing you in the wonderful name of Jesus. And may God's riches and best be yours.
Shalom.
Shalom.